You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to HearstRanch.com. Welcome to Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides, your host, and hopefully you're listening to this show live. But if you're not, remember that you can always listen to our shows archived online anytime at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, or you can podcast them. So I don't know if you know this about me or not, but last Tuesday night, I was on the Food Network show, Chopped. I taped it way back in January, but then it aired last Tuesday. And last Tuesday night during my show, I actually completely forgot to mention it. I think I was a little freaked out about the fact that it was airing, and maybe I didn't want anybody to watch. But I actually mentioned it the week before. So anyway, the show aired last week, and maybe you watched it, maybe you caught it. If you're not familiar with this show called Chopped, it's a cooking competition show where four chef contestants battle it out over mystery baskets of ingredients, making three courses. And after each course, one chef is chopped. They're eliminated. And then eventually it comes down to two chefs over the dessert course. So you start out with four chefs, do an appetizer, then you go down to three chefs, do an entree. Two chefs do dessert, and then one is the winner. And I made it as far as dessert. I was in the dessert round, but then I got chopped in the dessert round. And I know why. I made a couple of sloppy technical mistakes, and that's what it came down to. And everything the judges criticized about my food, I completely agreed with them. So it's fine. What's really amazing is that when you're actually under that sort of stress and you're in that situation, you can't think clearly, and you do make really stupid mistakes. It's amazing. But anyway, that's not really what I want to talk about tonight. In each round, you're presented with this basket, this mystery basket of ingredients. Every chef gets the same basket. And in the first round, the appetizer round, you have 20 minutes. And then in the entree and dessert rounds, you have 30 minutes. So we are all up there, we get on set, and we open up our appetizer basket, and we pull out our four ingredients, plus there's a whole pantry of stuff you can use, but we pull out the ingredients, and we have dried dates, no problem, love those, bourbon, love that, anchovies, love those, and frog's legs. Not too challenging of a combination, actually. I didn't think it was that outrageous, and I actually really like frog's legs. I'm not at all squeamish or freaked out by them. I thought that was actually pretty easy. So I looked at those frog's legs, and my first thought was everybody else is going to fry them and make them crunchy. So I'm going to braise them and make them nice and soft. So I braised them, and I took the dates, and I made like a spicy date puree. I called it ketchup, spicy date ketchup. And that was pretty popular with the judges. And I also, what else did I do on the plate? Oh, yeah, I made a little salad of apples and celery leaves and mint, and I thought it was all pretty good, and judges liked it too, but they actually thought my frog's legs were a little bit bouncy, like a little bit chewy, and maybe they were. 20 minutes is not much time to braise anything, but I really didn't want to fry them. I just didn't want to do what everybody else was doing. But anyway, that's not what I want to talk about either. What I want to talk about are frog's legs. Because I don't think they're used enough or appreciated enough. When I was back, I was in Vietnam in June and then again in January. If you listen to the show, you know, because I talk about that a lot. And in the town I was in there, it's along this river, and there are these restaurants along the river, and they serve a lot of seafood, obviously. Although I guess frog's legs technically aren't seafood. I don't know what they are. One of the judges said they were like chicken that had taken a swim in the ocean. And they're kind of like that. They're sort of texturally like birds, but taste more like the sea in a way. Anyway, this place in Vietnam serves these frog's legs that I just loved. They're They're one of the best things I've really ever eaten. And I don't even know how they're cooked. I think they stir fry them and then maybe add some liquid and braise them. But they get really tender. And then they kind of shower the whole thing with these slivers of really crispy garlic, like sweet, crispy garlic. And there's this glaze on it that's kind of tart and salty and sweet and I think has tamarind in it. And it's the best thing. It's the most delicious dish. And I still think about those frog's legs and about the flavor. So when I was on the show, I was trying to kind of quickly recreate that dish, or at least, you know, loosely reinterpret it, inspired by it, you know. So anyway, we did the show back in January, came and went, aired last week, whatever. It's done. But it's gotten me thinking about frog's legs, because really, when do you see them on menus? You know, they're kind of like this holdover cliche from the old days of classical French dining in the U.S. when you would have escargot and frog's legs and things like that on menus, and nobody really knew what to make of it, but you ate them because you thought you were supposed to eat them. They don't even eat them that much in France anymore, actually. I was looking at some statistics, and they don't even eat that much of them, but they eat a lot of them in Asia. They're really big in Asia. But I was thinking about texturally and structurally how a frog's leg is so much like a chicken wing. They kind of are just like chicken wings, except you have to eat them skinless. Whereas chicken wings, it's kind of all about the skin. But, you know, as Americans, we suck down wings by the millions. We love the chicken wings. But frog's legs have never really caught on in the same way. You know, the French eat some, like I said. In Asia, they eat some. A few weeks ago, I was in Hong Kong supermarket in Brooklyn, and they had this big bucket, like a big garbage can full of live frogs that they were selling, these huge live frogs. And I don't know if people were buying them to eat them whole or if they were just cutting off the legs and eating the legs. I don't know. I'm not sure if there's any meat on the rest of the frog. I do know that their livers are poisonous. You should never eat a frog's liver. You should also never eat polar bear liver. FYI, it's poisonous. But anyway, I was thinking that, you know, people should sort of get used to it and start eating more frog's legs instead of chicken wings. I think, you know, raising them is probably much more environmentally sound. They don't require the same kind of food requirements. They just, you know, they eat mosquitoes, they eat bugs. I don't think they are quite as polluting as chickens. So, you know, are we too squeamish about eating amphibians? Is that the problem? And as Americans, we don't really eat a lot of amphibians. We don't really eat turtle anymore. People used to. We don't eat frogs. We don't really eat lizards or iguana or stuff like that. It's just not really a part of our diet. But, you know, barbecued frog's legs or buffalo frog's legs, that would be pretty good. I don't see why it wouldn't catch on. Probably a big part of it goes back to the Muppet movie. Remember the Muppet movie, the first one? Part of the story of the first Muppet movie was that there was this kind of evil Colonel Sanders type character who was opening a chain of French fried frog's legs restaurant. You remember this? And he wanted Kermit as his spokes frog, but also he wanted his legs. I mean, I think the idea was he was going to kill Kermit and he was going to use his image. And so, you know, Kermit escapes this guy, but he's pursued by this fast food entrepreneur throughout the film, and, you know, hijinks ensue, and he meets up with Fozzie and Miss Piggy, and it's sort of about how they all came to meet each other, but the primary storyline was he was escaping the Colonel Sanders of Frog's Legs. So maybe that had to do with it. We all love Kermit too much, but I'm telling you, those Frog's Legs in Vietnam were so good that, you know, I'm already thinking about it. I'm thinking maybe I should start a little franchise or something. I don't know. But anyway, you know, they're eaten, like I said, in France. The Cantonese really like them too. And turns out that they're eaten in other places too that I didn't even know about. The Caribbean. They eat them in some parts of Portugal, Greece, in Italy, in Piedmont they eat them, in Spain. And then, of course, there's the whole southern U.S. frog's leg culture. A lot of them are raised in Florida and Louisiana, and the Cajun population. You know, people eat them in Cajun cuisine, but they're commercially raised in Florida, but the bulk of them come from Vietnam and Indonesia, actually. And the French don't even eat their domestic frogs anymore. They have to import them. And there are a couple of places where there are like these mountain frogs that are considered a delicacy, but now they're environmentally threatened, so you can't eat those anymore. In the south of France, they eat them Provençal style with a lot of garlic and tomatoes. And we used to actually have that on the curriculum at the culinary school where I teach, but nobody would ever eat them. It was so hard to get the students to try them that we decided it was just a big waste, and we got rid of them. And also, like in Lyon and Burgundy, they're often prepared like escargot with just a lot of butter and parsley and garlic, which, you know, really will make anything taste good. I mean, you could put that on like a pair of Birkenstocks and, you know, they would taste like food. So it doesn't really matter what you put on them. But the French brought them to New Orleans, of course, when the French came to the New World. And that's how they became a part of Cajun cuisine. They're usually breaded and deep fried down there, though, like a lot of Southern food. And I was reading about this, you know, doing my research. They eat them a lot in Indonesia, but they like to stew them or make a soup out of them. But they also like to peel off the frog skin and grill it on a stick over the fire in Java. Very popular in Java to eat crispy grilled frog skin. I don't know. Don't knock it till you try it. You know how good crispy chicken skin is. So maybe frog skin is really good too. When we got our frog's legs in our basket on the show, they were skinless. So I couldn't try to do that. But that would have probably, maybe I would have won if I had done crispy grilled frog skin. I don't know. But anyway, I think they should be more popular, although that's probably not going to happen. Maybe I'll start a movement, frog's legs movement. But then again, I also think rabbit should be more popular. And people don't really eat a lot of rabbit either. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about rabbit. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. For information, go to HearstRanch.com. Welcome back to Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. If you are a fan of Why We Cook, and why shouldn't you be, you can find me on Facebook at Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network and become a fan. I actually gained about 30-something new fans last week just from being on CHOP, which was cool. All of you who saw me on the show and became fans, thank you very much. Welcome to the Why We Cook family. We're happy to have you here. Hopefully you're actually listening to the show. And you can always listen to these shows on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. You can listen to them archived. You can also listen to a 24-hour programming stream now. And, of course, always on iTunes, you can find every show that we do, including The Naturalist, which is hosted by my father, Bernie Weitz. Okay, so in the first segment, we were talking about frog's legs and how undervalued and underappreciated I think they are, and how they're really like the amphibian version of chicken wings, and I think should be given their due respect and potential for popularity that chicken wings have. People didn't really eat a lot of chicken wings until the whole buffalo wing explosion happened in the early 80s. You know where that all came from? There was some bar outside of Buffalo. I can't remember what it was called, and I'm sure someone will write in and tell me. But there's a bar somewhere outside of Buffalo, and they invented these wings, these, you know, hot wings served with blue cheese. And that's where it all happened. I mean, before that, you didn't really go out of your way to eat wings. They were just like part of your chicken, but now there's like this massive wing explosion going on. There's actually a wing shortage now, believe it or not. But anyway, Frog's legs, I think, are so much like chicken wings that you may as well eat them instead. They're better. They're better for you. And also, rabbit. Let's talk about rabbit, because people don't eat a lot of rabbit in the U.S. They eat a lot of rabbit in Italy. They eat a lot of rabbit in France. They eat some rabbit in Asia, although it depends who, because some people don't consider rabbit food in Asia. But, you know, you can treat rabbit just like chicken. I mean, it's basically, you know, rabbits are basically just furry chickens with cuter faces, really. But the meat tastes better, I think. And they're a lot better for you, because rabbits are just pure vegetarians. They're just out there eating grass and herbs. And so their meat is going to be a lot healthier for you than, you know, factory farm chickens. Who knows what they're being fed. So years ago, I was in Italy in, I think, Orvieto. And I had this rabbit that was like a supernatural rabbit eating experience. It was just roasted, like simply roasted in a wood-fired oven. Very liberally basted with olive oil, sprinkled with good salt and some herbs. And that was it. It was really crispy and really tender and sweet and herby and rabbity and delicious. It was so good. It was like a top five thing. I practically ate the bones. It was so good. Why aren't we eating rabbit more? It's definitely showing up on restaurant menus. You definitely see it a lot more now, which I think is great. But, you know, there's that sentimentality issue. People just love the fuzzy bunny. You know, people have a hard time with it, like frog's legs, like we were talking about in the first segment. You know, we're squeamish or we're sentimental about food. And, you know, somebody who would think not a minute about throwing down a pile of chicken, you know, a chicken that's probably lived its life in a dark, wet wire cage with no room to move and, you know, standing in its own poop and being fed horrible stuff, you wouldn't think twice about that, but they would recoil in horror if you suggested that they eat a rabbit that potentially was, you know, hopping around in a nice pen eating grass with other happy rabbits. So, you know, it's just this like weird sentimentality thing we have. I mean, we don't eat dogs either. I'm not, certainly not advocating we eat dog. They do it in Vietnam. I'm not going to eat dog. But, you know, rabbits, they're really just pests. I mean, it's the Easter Bunny curse. It's the curse of the Easter Bunny. You know, the cute twitchy noses, the fluffy tails, the ears. But what about when they get into your garden and mow it down like a giant free salad bar? Then how do you feel about those rabbits? That's when I want to kill them and eat them. And I wish that people would maybe eat more rabbit and eat less chicken, because it tastes better. They're fed better. They're better for you. Their meat is healthier. And it's when you cook it, it cooks just like chicken too. You have to be careful when you cook it, because it has two distinctly different types of meat on it, like chicken, but sort of more pronounced in a way. It's funny, just as I said we should eat dogs, the cutest little dog just walked by the window, so I hope he didn't hear me. Anyway, rabbits have like a loin or a saddle. It's kind of funny, it's called a saddle of rabbit. Like you could like hitch up your saddle on your rabbit and, you know, ride it. That would be pretty funny. But it's called the loin, and that's like the same thing as the chicken breast, except it's cylindrical. It's like think of a chicken breast formed into a cylinder. You have a rabbit loin. And it's very, very delicate and very lean white meat, and very prone to overcooking. So usually you just saute it or grill it very carefully. And often it's wrapped in some kind of fat, usually like bacon or pancetta, or you can wrap it in caul fat. Caul fat's very cool. If you don't know what caul fat is, it's fat that comes from the lining of a pig's stomach, and it looks like lace. It's amazing stuff. You wrap it around meats, and then you cook the meat, and then the caul fat just melts, and it disappears, but it sinks into the meat, and it like moistens and bastes it. Caul fat is amazing stuff. So anyway, their loins are really tender, but their back legs, of course, because of the obvious hopping they do all the time, are tough. They're very sinuous. They're kind of like duck legs. They get a lot of exercise. So the back legs really need like a long, slow braise or a long, slow roast with some moisture and some basting. Those back legs get a real workout, and so they're full of collagen, and you need to really break down that collagen. So they take a long time. If you want to stew a whole rabbit or roast a whole rabbit, what you have to remember is that the loin meat, it's going to cook a lot faster. So you either, you know, put it in the pot later, start the legs first, or start it all together and then pull the loins out. Because, you ever eat like a really bad overcooked chicken breast? That's what rabbit loin gets like if that's overdone too. So you want to be careful, but you got to give the legs a really long time. Now, usually people cook the loin and they cook the back legs, but they don't really do the front legs so much. I like to call them arms because they kind of look like arms. I guess they're kind of like legs, but let's call them arms. If you were doing a stew, you could throw the front legs in the stew. There's not that much meat on them, but see, why not, again, treat them like a chicken wing? Why aren't we eating like barbecue buffalo rabbit arms instead of chicken wings? Is that just too weird? Are people too squeamish? You never see buffalo rabbit on menus, do you? I mean, you could, but I don't think people do it. But they look just like chicken wings. Why not treat them the same way? They're lean and they're tough, but I think if you really took the time to cook them, it would work out. I mean, if I had a restaurant, of course, I would serve, like at the bar, I would serve spicy rabbit wings. Like, that's like a little freebie, spicy rabbit wings. Maybe with like little baby carrots on the side, which would be kind of funny. And some kind of really good dipping sauce, some kind of good spicy dipping sauce or something. Or you could do like a sampler, like a whole sampler of appendages, like a frog's leg, rabbit arm, squab wing, chicken wing sampler. That would be kind of great. Fry them all up or roast them and put them like in a paper cone and serve them at the bar. That would be great. I mean, all you need with that is like a good IPA and you're set. You could watch the game and eat your rabbit legs with the guys. Ugh. Anyway, where am I going with this? Oh, so I was actually just asked by somebody to consult on menu items for this chicken wing chain here in New York. It's not a done deal yet. It's not definite, so I'm not going to say who it is. But they somehow got my name. They got in touch with me and said, oh, we want to introduce some healthier wing options on our menu other than just the standard buffalo wings, because, you know, a buffalo wing is deep fried. I don't know if you know that. They put the wings in the fryer, deep fry them, and then put the buffalo sauce on, which is butter and hot sauce mixed together, and then you dip it in blue cheese. Certainly delicious. Not potentially the most healthy option. So they want to kind of not only make it healthier, but they want to introduce some sort of more interesting, creative, contemporary ways of serving wings. So I think that's a great challenge. And hopefully this consulting job will fall into place and I'll be able to do it. Now, dare I go in there and propose that we also add frog's legs and rabbit arms to his menu of wing options? I highly doubt it. And I don't think he would even go for it. I'm not even going to mention it. But we'll just leave it at that. And, you know, like I may have mentioned before, speaking of wings, you know, there's actually a chicken wing shortage in the food service industry. Did you know that? Because these wing places are so popular now, this like Buffalo Wild Wings and, you know, Fridays and all of those like franchisee kind of places serve so many wings now, there's actually a wing shortage. Because, you know, think about it, each chicken only has two. So in order to serve someone a plate of 20 wings, you have to kill 10 chickens just to get those wings. So that's a lot of wings. And it's actually causing a shortage. It's getting harder and harder for restaurateurs to get wings in the supply chain, which to me is just another reason to start eating more frog's legs. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, maybe a recipe. We'll be right back.
Nice deer.
What was that?
Get with the program.
It's Domino's new buffalo wings.
Now when you call for your favorite Domino's pizza, you can get a full order of 10 chicken wings for just $3.99. Beans, milk, and cookies.
Domino's buffalo wings!
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. For more information, you can go to HearstRanch.com. Hearst Ranch raises beef. They don't raise frog's legs or or rabbits, which is what I've been talking about tonight, but they do raise exceptionally good beef. So tonight we're talking about arms, wings, legs, specifically chicken wings, frog's legs, and rabbit front legs, which I like to call arms because I think they look sort of like little fuzzy arms. And we were just during the break for a second here with Jack, the producer, was saying, oh, if you open that restaurant and serve that little sampler of appendages, I would totally eat that. And see, Jack's one of my greatest supporters of my crazy ideas. Not that I'm opening a restaurant, but if somebody wanted to maybe give me several $1 million to play around with these ideas, I might try that out. Anyway, so we've been talking about these appendages and what you can do with them. And remember a few weeks ago, I did a show on caramelized sugar. If you're a faithful listener, you might remember this. We talked about caramelized sugar and all the wondrous ways that it can be used in cooking, not just in dessert, but in savory applications also. Well, that got me thinking because there's this Vietnamese way of cooking chicken wings or maybe frog's legs or rabbit arms or other little bony parts. Vietnamese style, and it incorporates all my favorite stuff, which is caramelized sugar and fish sauce and cilantro, which are a lot of my favorite things. So I'm going to give you a little recipe, which I don't normally do. Once in a while I give you a recipe, but here's a little recipe. If you need like exact amounts, you can email me or, you know, find me on Facebook, but this is pretty, you got some flexibility here. Okay, this is to do Vietnamese wings, and this is actually an adaptation of a recipe by Jean-Georges Van Grichten, so I have to give him some credit. But it's really Vietnamese. I mean, he stole it from them. So anyway, you're going to take about a third of a cup of sugar, just plain old sugar, and the juice of a lime, and you're going to mix them together until they look like wet sand. And then you're going to put that in a glass baking dish, like a Pyrex baking dish, and put that on the stove over a medium flame. Make sure it's Pyrex and that it's heatproof so you don't have an explosion of glass in your face. Heat it up and let the sugar melt and let it start to turn golden. You want it to caramelize. So you're looking for like medium amber eventually. When that sugar is brown and caramelized, you're going to very carefully stir in about a quarter cup of fish sauce. A little more. Quarter cup plus about 2 tablespoons. But remember that fish sauce is a water base and you're stirring it into this caramel that's almost 400 degrees. So be very careful. Stir it in really, really carefully so it doesn't splatter, okay? And you don't get horribly disfigured and burned and then sue me. Don't do that. Okay, stir in the fish sauce and then stir in some sliced up garlic, shallots, and ginger. Like maybe 4 garlic, 4 shallots, and a couple tablespoons of ginger. All sliced nice and thin. Stir that in and get that all nice and combined and cooking in the caramel. Then you're going to take about 3 pounds of chicken wings or frog's legs, perhaps, or rabbit front legs. And you want to separate them at the joint so you have individual pieces. So for chickens, you would have 3 little pieces. And for rabbits, you would have 2 segments. If you're using frog's legs, what you have to do is snip off the little feet. Frog's legs come with their little tiny feet attached with their little toes. And there's not really any meat on them and they look kind of creepy. So take those off and just use the thigh and the calf of the frog's legs. And you'll be amazed at how much they look like wiry old man legs. You ever see like a really wiry, like skinny little very old man and what his legs look like? That's what frog's legs look like, actually. You can make them do like little dances if you're feeling a little wacky. Anyway, so separate those and then throw them into that caramel and stir it around and then let that cook on top of the stove for like 10 minutes and start to get some color on the protein, and then take the whole pan and throw it in the oven that you've preheated to about 425 and give the whole thing like 30 to 40 minutes. And what'll happen is the caramel is going to get really dark. The wings are going to get really crispy and brown, and then they'll start to char just on the tips. And when you have that little bit of char, take them out of the oven. Grind a lot of black pepper over them and sprinkle some cilantro. Just loosely plucked cilantro, and then serve them up, preferably with Vietnamese beer. And it's good. That's seriously good. All right, we're out of time. So thanks for listening to Why We Cook this week on heritageradionetwork.com. Thank you to my producer, Jack, and my engineer, Nat, and we'll see you next week.